This show furnished by Abir Cohen, Trazon, and Sallow.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is KAVC 790 Talk Radio. Welcome to the Axe Law Hour, heard every Saturday at noon, providing you with solid information from our good friends at Abir Cohen, Trazon, and Sallow, the Axe Law Firm. That's A-C-T-S Law. Find them at axelaw.com. Knowledge is power, and power is knowledge. And the Axe Law Hour wants to empower you today. And now, here's our host and managing partner of the Axe Law Firm, Danny Abir, along with me, Lorraine Love.
Good afternoon, Lorraine.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You like my ugly sweater?
I love it.
It jingles. You want to hear what it says?
I love the noises it makes.
Okay. All right. Let me look. Can you hear it? It's a big cow on my ugly sweater. Yesterday was National Ugly Sweater Day.
I heard.
Yeah, so I've got a couple in my closet. Wore a different one yesterday, one today, just for you. And it jingles and everything else.
I think I have to thank my wife for the fact that I don't think I have any ugly sweaters. if it was for me, probably every single one of my sweaters, not just my Christmas ones, would be considered ugly. Today, we're very lucky because not only we have two guests here in the studio,
right,
in addition to, our normal one guest. Today we have Alex Cohen, my partner, and my other partner, Terry Bailey, here, both of whom have been on the show, and those who've been listening for the past few weeks have heard both of them.
Yes.
But we're also going to, in the second segment, bring on someone very knowledgeable on the issues related to policyholders and insurance. She's the executive director of United Policyholders. Her name is Amy Bach. She's also an attorney.
Okay.
And we're going to be discussing the fires, Southern California fires. We're going to be discussing insurance claims and how insurance companies deal with it. And in the final segment of the show, I want to dedicate one quarter of the show to construction defect, which is something that I remember from last week. You said you had some questions related to construction defect, and I promised you
that
I'll bring Terry with me this week so we can discuss that as well.
Yay.
For the callers, for the listeners, to the extent that you have questions related to insurance claims, if you've had damage to your property, if you've been a victim of the fire damages, the fires in Southern California, or if you just have questions related to insurance claims, you can feel free to call in. I think you can even call in when Amy Bach is on in the second segment. We really have a wealth of knowledge here at the studio today with both Alex and Terry related to insurance claims, and I think it'll be very helpful for anybody who has questions.
I agree. I think everybody's wondering what to do, and these fires are just, they're still out of control. So I think this is great to have people call in, anybody, like Danny said, with fire damage or damage to their home or business. Even if you have questions about smoke and ash damage, construction defect, anything like that, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. The number's 800-222-5222.
So, how are you, Alex?
Good morning, Los Angeles.
Hello.
Good morning, Lorraine. I hope you're doing well. I'm excited to be here today to talk about property damage insurance claims, in particular, all the issues that are going on in our state.
Yeah.
You know, with all the wildfires, with all the fires that are happening and the displaced people. And I'm sure there's a lot of questions about what do I do? Where do I begin?
Mm-hmm.
There's such lack of knowledge, unfortunately, out there that we're looking to help people out. And I hope that our show today will bring clarity on what things have to be done.
Agreed.
Okay. So, and one of the things, funny enough, that we were, I didn't think we were going to have to discuss anytime soon at the office, was that I thought, okay, there's going to be fire. People are going to be dealing with their insurance companies for the first few months. Even Terry and I, who I'm going to about to say hi to in a second. Terry and I had even had this discussion at the office that there's going to be about like maybe 3-4 month period before the insurers are going to get sick of having to deal with the insurance company.
Right.
And when the insurance companies are going to start basically lowballing or giving problems to their insurance. And we're getting calls already at the office from people who are saying, my insurance company is giving me a hard time.
So new.
I mean, for people to be dealing with what they're dealing with the fires and still have to deal with insurance companies not helping them, it's huge. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's emotional too, right? I mean, it's your property. It's all your stuff. It's your home.
It is. Hi, Terry.
Good morning.
Hi, Terry.
Good morning, Lorraine. Hey, I just want to acknowledge, before we get into the homeowners and dealing with insurance claims, I want to acknowledge the firefighters and all other first responders who are out there.
Yes.
And let's all keep Corey Iverson and his family in our thoughts and prayers, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was a sad deal.
It is one of, I mean, we have many thankless jobs in our world, and that's definitely one of the most thankless jobs.
We talked about it last week, right? I mean, we're running out of the fire, and they're running in.
Inside.
Yes.
So what kind of a sacrifice is that? You know, we had some callers last week. A lot of people already were calling last week asking questions about fire damage and wanting to know what to do. Where do you start? And so I know Alex last week was really great about doing it from start to finish. So if you have any more questions, give us a call right now. Fire damage, insurance claims, you know, any sort of construction defects, anything. Call us at 800-222-5222.
So one of the things that between the two of you, you have a lot of experience. I mean, combined over 45 years of experience dealing with insurance companies, which I kind of have to say I'm sorry because, I mean, dealing with insurance companies is not easy. They really are not made to help you or be helpful to you, mainly because, well, it's a for-profit entity. So they make money when they're not paying out. And how do you deal with it when it comes to basically fire damage, particularly when people are displaced and they are really at the most vulnerable stage?
Well, first you got to realize you're not on the same playing field. You're not.
And what do you mean by that?
The playing field is not level. Insurance carriers, they have a lot more experience in handling claims overall.
That's a good point because we don't handle it, thank God, every day,
it's
and they do.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a common experience. So people that experience any type of loss, whether it's a fire loss, mm-hmm. a water damage loss, burglary, vandalism, you name it. The question is, where do I begin?
Right.
Okay. The very first place to begin is your policy. Get a hold of your insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be reviewed, analyzed. And then even when you analyze it yourself, you may not even know what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
What are my rights? What are my coverages?
What does this all mean? Because I know, I look at my policy, I'm like, okay, wait, this plus that equals what? It doesn't even sometimes make sense.
Correct. I mean, you have like different sections of your policy, you know, concerning your dwelling, your living expenses, your loss of use, your personal property. And the list goes on. And if you are not accustomed on how to read an insurance policy, you're already
at a disadvantage.
Yeah. So then you got to determine, you know, what kind of loss did I have? Recently, I know because of the fires, I'd like to get this to the fire topic.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry and I have a lot to talk about with respect to fire, because there's partial fire damages and full structure fire damages. Terry, what are some of your opinions regarding partial fire damages versus full fires?
A lot of people probably don't even understand, and it goes back to what you were just saying, Alex, about having your policy and carefully reviewing it, but a lot of people may not even know that they, in fact, do have coverage for smoke and ash claims, even if their house was not actually burned down.
Correct.
You know, a couple other things that I wanted to throw in here before we bring Amy in is just a couple of tips on how to handle your claim and what to expect. And some of this may seem very basic, and in fact it is, but when you're under the stress of dealing with losing your home and your family being displaced, you may not think of all these things. But, you know, certainly, obviously, the most important thing is to immediately report your claim to your insurance agent. Another very important thing, if you still have property left, is to photograph and video all of the damage to your property and start preparing that inventory. The insurance company is going to want an inventory of all of your personal property within your home. Get to work on that as soon as you can. Along those lines, too, do not discard any of your damaged property until you give the insurance company an opportunity to inspect it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, whatever's left, whatever's left, you know, of your property, you need to document that damage if you expect to be paid for it. If you don't document the damage and you don't give the insurance company an opportunity to inspect it, you're inviting more difficulties down the road when you're trying to collect on that.
Okay.
You know what I always tell people? I always tell people that videotape and or photograph the entire content of your house.
Okay.
In advance of any incident that occurs. So I would take a videotape. I would go, you know, you can just use your phone these days. So easy, and it uploads on the cloud. You can just go and videotape it and at least document what you had.
Well, we're going to bring in Amy in the next segment, where the three of you can discuss more about what the insurance can deal with, how the insurance can deal with the insurance companies, and how they can read through their policy with the help of attorneys who will actually explain it to them.
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to continue our conversation with our guest attorneys today, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen, talking about fire insurance claims and property damage. And all of that. It looks like we have some callers already on the line. So if you have any questions and you want to call in as well, please call us at 800-222-5222. This is the Axe Law Hour with your host, Danny Abir, and me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Is Santa gonna bring Americans tax cuts?
Miss Iraq is forced to flee her country after taking a selfie with Miss Israel.
And is the Department of Justice gonna kill the Disney Fox deal preventing the X-Men from joining the Avengers?
On the next McIntyre Morning, get smart 5 to 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Sarah, can you step in here a moment?
Sure.
So, big news?
Oh?
You're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Dr. Corporate, approve memo.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. For a limited time only, sign up today and receive 3 months for 99 cents at amazon.com/musicunlimited. Automatically renews. Cancel anytime.
Sarah, you can leave now.
Okay.
Start your gift shopping yet?
I will today. It's time to shop at Macy's.
Says the man who never does his own gift shopping.
But this is different. We save on hundreds of gift specials.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Plus thousands more specials in-store and online.
Uh-huh.
Or we get an extra 20 or 15% off with our Macy's Carter Savings Pass.
Wow, you've really done your homework.
This year, just call me Santa.
Are you just saying this while I'll put out milk and cookies for you?
Now that you mention it. The perfect gift brings people together. It's time to shop at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
Do you need Duracell batteries this coming holiday season? Maybe not. Maybe you could trust your kids will be just as happy without them. Maybe you could trust they won't remember you as the parent who spent this Christmas morning driving to a mini mall to get the batteries you forgot while wearing a robe. Or you could just trust Duracell and buy them right now.
Start your gift shopping yet?
I will today. It's time to shop at Macy's.
Says the man who never does his own gift shopping.
But this is different. We save on hundreds of gift specials.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Plus thousands more specials in-store and online.
Uh-huh.
Or we get an extra 20 or 15% off with our Macy's Carter Savings Pass.
Wow, you've really done your homework.
This year, just call me Santa.
Are you just saying this while I'll put out milk and cookies for you?
Now that you mention it. The perfect gift brings people together. It's time to shop at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
We are back with the Axe Law Hour. That's A C T S Law. You can find him at axelaw.com. Before the break, we were talking with our guest attorneys, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen, about fire insurance claims. If you have any questions about fire insurance claims or any legal questions, property damage, anything, please give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. The number is 800-222-5222. And here he is, your host, Danny Abir, along with me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Okay, fantastic. So we're going to bring on Amy Bach, who's professional advocate for insurance policyholders since 1984. She's been an attorney since 1989. She co-founded the United Policyholders in 1991, which is basically a nonprofit organization that aims to assist the insured understand and be able to benefit from their policy and
okay.
handle insurance companies. Amy is fantastic. I mean, if there is one person who you can comfortably say her heart is all into helping the insured, mm-hmm. that's her. And she's also incredibly knowledgeable. So with that introduction, let's bring on Amy Bach.
Amy, good morning, are you there? Or afternoon, Amy.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me on. And
thanks for being on.
And it's good to be with an expert like Danny who compliments the work we do and is part of the work that our nonprofit does. So we wouldn't be able to empower the insured without experts like Danny and his firm, you know, to carry them through.
We actually are sponsors of United Policyholders because
oh, really?
We truly believe the mission that they're on and what they're trying to do. Like I said, I mean, I don't envy Alex and Terry and Amy, for that matter,
right.
For having to deal with insurance companies mm-hmm. on a regular basis, because it's definitely not easy work to do. And I think they're an incredible organization. They do a lot of good. And
that's awesome.
It's very helpful to have them there because
right.
Not everybody knows what their rights are.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they can have the United Policyholders on their side to help them with something like that.
Right.
So, Alex, Terry, and Amy, what do you guys want to talk about?
Well, I think what I want to talk about is a few experiences that I have seen in recent policies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Amy can chime in on this. Is about the amount of policies that people are finding themselves in. Like, you know, when they're looking at their dwelling coverages, they're seeing it substantially lower than what their current damages
mm-hmm.
are. When they go through a fire. I wanted to hear what Amy's opinion is on that.
Okay, yeah. So we call that underinsurance. You know, when people find after a loss that the amount of coverage they have on the structure is not enough to repair or rebuild. And it's very, very common after, especially after wildfires. And so our organization, we started in 1991, and the first big wildfire that we were involved in, which gave birth to our Roadmap to Recovery program, through which we're now in Sonoma, Napa, and Ventura, and in Fallbrook, providing guidance to people. But from our very first wildfire in 1991, the biggest obstacle for people to get back on their feet after losing their home in a wildfire has been under insurance. And it doesn't hit everybody, but it hits a lot. So it's about, our surveys have shown that about on average 60% of wildfire survivors are underinsured by anywhere from 10,000 to even up to, you know, 500,000. So there's people, the average amount in the last big San Diego fire that we surveyed was about 200,000. That's how short people were on their coverage A.
Wow.
And we've been, yeah.
We talked last week about, you know, what to do with your policies, right? So one of the things we were saying is,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at your policies, review your policies, because it's not something that gets reviewed all the time. So in your expertise, and I mean, what do you think? Review them every few years? Would you suggest review them annually?
Yeah, I think, so the deal is this, you know, yes, review them annually, but the main thing is that you got to have a conversation with the insurance company and you got to take notes and write down when you have the conversation and what gets said and then put them in a safe place because, you know, people don't know how much it's going to cost to put their house back. They rely on the insurance companies and agents to do that, to calculate that, and they don't question the expertise that the insurance company has.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at your policy and you can say, okay, so in other words, yes, review it, but review it with the insurance company and say, all right, I want to make sure that my coverage is what I need. Do I have enough? And then, you know, you write down their answers. The formulas, the software that insurance companies use to set the limits when you buy insurance mm-hmm. and when you renew are flawed, and they just keep
oh.
using them because the law protects them.
Okay.
So the reality is you think, oh, yeah, my insurance company knows how much insurance I need, But they're not doing the math carefully enough, and then after the fact, when it becomes a problem, they hide behind their legal, basically, immunity, which is that there's this fiction that the property owner sets their limits, that the courts just keep on upholding that fiction, saying, yep, yep, it's policyholders' duty to set their own coverage A. And we know, those of us who are in the trenches know, that policyholders don't do that.
Right.
In reality, it's the insurance agent. I mean, can you imagine you walk into an insurance agent's office and say, okay, how much coverage do you think I need on my home? And he says, oh, I don't know. You got to figure that out. You'd walk out of there so fast. You'd be like, what would I pay this guy a commission for?
Exactly. How do I know?
But one of the issues one of the issues that comes up in a situation like this, and we talked about this last week actually with Alex, is that prices of material go up when the fire is this extensive. It's one thing when you have one house that's on fire, but when you have so thousands of homes that have burned down, you have material and rebuilding becomes more expensive in that situation. The other thing, which is also a common myth, and Amy probably knows just as much about this, is a lot of insurers and homeowners think that their insurance company is their buddy and their friend and their protector. I mean, you see all these advertising on TV that we're going to be there for you.
Right. Like
a good neighbor. And when it actually comes down to it, well, if my insurance company tells me that this is how it should be, they're probably telling the truth because they're my friend and they're there to protect me.
And I've been there, you know, with that insurance company for 20 years. So, of course, they would not steer me in the wrong direction.
And the question I always ask them is how many times your insurance company has taken you out to lunch in the past 20 years?
Right.
Zero times.
I think one of the other things that goes on here with agents is unless they're pushed and the question is asked, you know, do I have adequate coverage, they're reluctant to want to increase your coverage because it raises your premium and then you may go down the street to another carrier.
Right. And I mean, there's no way that any of these insurance people can be held accountable if they don't help you to get the right insurance?
Well, they can be if you've got enough proof of the conversation. That's why I talked about saving the notes. And because what happens is, so we deal with, you know, these guys, you know, Terry and Alex and Danny, they're dealing with, you know, hundreds of people. But we, you know, because we do these big meetings, we deal with thousands of people.
Right.
And so, you know, there's people solve under insurance in different ways. And, you know, the people, the disaster survivors that we have worked with over the last 20 years, lots of the underinsured folks have been able to get their insurance companies to retroactively increase their limits, but it almost always happens behind closed doors, confidentially, with a lawyer helping them. Because if the circumstances are right and you make your argument to the insurance company in a way that they buy your argument and they say, okay, as a business decision, we should just make this person whole, they do it, but you won't find the proof of it. It happens, like I said, behind closed doors. We know about the ones where people fail in court, and a lot of times it's because all they have to prove that they tried to get full insurance and they were assured that they had it, and so they didn't take any action, right? The insurance companies very often will say, oh, you're fine. You know, I mean, I hear people say all the time, I went to Farmers and I asked them for more coverage and they said they wouldn't and that I would be overinsured, that kind of thing, right?
That's interesting because I didn't even know that could take place.
It definitely can. And like Amy said, the vast majority of people are underinsured, and if you ask your insurance agent, how did you get the number?
Right. What formula did you use
to get my dwelling limits? Oftentimes, they really don't have the answer to that. So when you're uninsured and you've lost your property, like Amy says, if there things are going on behind closed doors, it won't happen without litigation. So these things get protracted. Okay, and there's a lot of delays, and delay is no good for the policyholder. And oftentimes, I've seen people lose their properties, lose their homes as a result of not being able to rebuild and get back into their business or homes.
Now, do you think that out of, you know, all your guys' experiences, if you start from the beginning with an attorney once this happens, then your chances of getting the resolve more in your favor are, you know, better?
I certainly would agree with that with that statement, and it goes back to what my colleague Alex said at the beginning of the program, is you're not on a level playing field with the carrier. The carrier has all of their professionals. They're in the business of handling claims, although some people would say they're in the business of collecting premiums.
Yeah.
But they are in the business of handling claims. This is what they do. The average homeowner has no idea what they're getting into.
The key is the key is that you actually have, when you're dealing with an adjuster, behind the adjuster, there is an attorney. I mean, even if you have not gotten into litigation, you're not really just dealing with the adjuster. You're also dealing with the law that is behind the adjuster. So because of that, we start every show with knowledge is power and power is knowledge.
Right.
The more knowledge you have, and if you have someone on your side that understands the law and understands policy, you're much more better equipped to be able to deal with insurance companies. So we're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and hopefully we'll have more information for you that will make you more knowledgeable to be able to deal with your insurance companies.
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our guest attorneys, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen. We also have Amy Bach on the phone, and she's answering some questions as well. We're talking about fire insurance claims. So if you have any questions, give us a call. 800-222-5222. This is the Axe Law Hour with your host, Danny Abir, and me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. New mandatory evacuations have been ordered in Montecito, where winds have been clocked at 65 miles an hour, fanning the flames of the Thomas Fire. The northbound 101 is closed at Seacliff, just north of Ventura, to accommodate evacuees. PCH is said to be a parking lot. The Thomas Fire has already blackened 259,000 acres. You can make a donation to the fire victims via the United Way and Catholic Charities Now at KABC.com. Five people, including a 10-year-old girl, remain hospitalized after being wounded in a drive-by shooting at Pacoima. Two were critically injured. The girl suffered only a minor graze wound. And Riverside police have arrested the ex-wife of former L.A. Clipper Lorenzen Wright. Shara Wright was taken into custody last night on a first-degree murder charge in connection with Wright's 2010 death. KABC SoCal weather, a wind advisory in effect. Sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s to around 70. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Kopitar in front to Jillian Barbary. Shoot! Score! Leanne Tweed, what a hit! Doug McIntyre, a shot, and he scores!
We are all Kings!
The Kings continue their quest to reclaim their throne later today as they face off against the New York Islanders.
Saved by Quick!
Nick and Daryl get things started at 3:30 with Inside Kings Hockey. Kings. Islanders. Today at 3:30 on your home for Kings Hockey. 790 KABC.
Are you a property owner dealing with damage to your home or business and getting the runaround from your insurance company? Is the insurance company's assessment of the damage and payment on the claim ridiculous? Wondering if you have any recourse? The attorneys at Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo are ready to help. If you have questions about property claims, civil rights, personal injury, or need legal counsel, call the Acts Law Firm. 833-ACTS-LAW. 833-ACTS-LAW. Or go to actslaw.com. That's ACTS-LAW.com.
Give the gift of better sleep during the holiday sleep event at Revive by Living Spaces. We've got your hosting needs covered with a great selection of the top brands and queen sets starting at just $2.95. Or experience our R1 cooling memory foam queen mattress at just $6.95 with free shipping anywhere in the U.S. And a $300 Living Spaces card with select purchases is the perfect gift for anyone. But only at the holiday sleep event at Revive by Living Spaces.
Everybody sing. Oh, there's no place like Norm's for the holidays. Get $10 in free bonus cards when you purchase $50 in Norm's gift cards, or a free $5 bonus card with $30 in gift cards. It's a gift for them and our gift to you. And be sure to dig into our signature T-bone steak, 3/4 of a pound of thick, juicy beef perfection, cooked to order. Starting from just $12.99, served with soup, salad, choice of potato, and a vegetable. Norm'sRestaurants.com, open 24/7.
Holiday cookies, mmm, who doesn't love them? But all that baking can be havoc on your pipes. Luckily, the pros at SoCal Plumbers 911 are on call 24-7, even on holidays. Licensed and insured, SoCal Plumbers 911 can handle any job. So go ahead, bake with confidence. SoCal Plumbers 911 has your holidays covered. Call SoCal Plumbers 911 and save $50 with their KABC special. Dial 877-PLUMBER or go to SoCalPlumbers911.com. That's SoCalPlumbers911.com.
Reaching us is as easy as 800-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
We are back with the Axe Law Hour. That's A-C-T-S Law. Find him at axelaw.com. Before the break, we were talking with our guest attorneys, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen. And we also got Amy Bach on the line from United Policyholders. We've been talking about fire insurance claims. If you have any questions about that or any legal questions, give us a call at 800-222-5222. And here he is, your host, managing partner Danny Abir, and me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio. KABC 790.
I was actually reading the question that one of the callers has, which I thought would be perfect to put on air and talk to for Amy, Alex, and Terry. So let's bring Rob from Santa Clarita on.
Hello, Rob. Rob, are you there?
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
Rob.
There? You're on air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, so I got a question. I bought a brand new house in Santa Clarita a year ago, and when I got my insurance, AAA insured me for $488,000 to rebuild the structure.
Okay.
And I said, well, if it burns down and it costs $500,000 to rebuild it, so I'm short, right? They said, no, we just have to put a number down. If it costs $500,000, we will cover you. If it costs $525,000, we will cover you.
Wow.
Is that accurate?
Not unless you have extended replacement cost coverage. So
yeah, so what you'd want to do is you want to take a look at the declarations page of your policy, and there are, as Alex just said, there's this rider that you might have, or in insurance lingo is it's either a rider or an endorsement, and it would give you extended, and it often will say 10, 25, 50, 100% above in case you need it. Now, it sounded like he was hinting that you might have a different policy called guaranteed replacement, which used to be around. There was a type of policy you could get that would say no matter what the rebuilding cost, the policy would cover it. But we haven't seen a policy like that in a long time. I heard rumors that the auto club was selling something close to that. But, again, you'd want to really read your policy carefully because usually – even if there's a bump up, like a extended replacement, it's still going to have a cap. It's still going to have a max, unless it is this very rarely seen policy form that's called guaranteed replacement coverage.
Right. So you have to take a look at your declaration page, and that what we're talking about, the extended replacement cost coverage, is either a numerical amount listed on your deck page or it's a percentage amount, and it has to be there. So if the agent or the insurance carrier, I don't think AAA has agents, you deal with them direct. If they told you that, no problem, if your damages are over $488,000, you're covered, there must be an extended replacement cost. Otherwise, you're bound to the limit, which is $488,000.
I have a quick question. So how much would like an extended coverage or guaranteed replacement, how much more is that on your policy? I mean, is it a percentage? Does it vary?
I don't know that. Amy, can you
ahead.
Answer that? Yeah, Amy, you might have to answer that.
Yeah, sure. It's generally going to be some sort of increase in the premium.
Right.
And what we normally find is it's not usually that much. You know, so like if your premium is, let's say you're paying, you know, $1,500 a year, you know, the extended replacement coverage is usually not going to run you more than a couple hundred bucks.
Correct.
Oh, wow. So that's
that.
A great, yeah. That's
and
great
and that's
thing.
Why it's a bargain. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We say, like, for your listeners that are out there wondering if they have enough, we say, look, the safest thing, because really guaranteed replacement policies are not an option for most people.
Right.
So we say the safest thing is you try to get that coverage A as close as you can to what you think is right in consultation with the insurance company, like we were saying.
Right.
And we tell people, do the math, take your coverage A, the amount they've got on the structure and divide, and if you, and most people can know what the square footage of living space is in their house. That's
right.
Not hard to figure out. And you divide it, and so that you, by the amount of your coverage A, and say, okay, I'm insured for, mm-hmm. let's say, $200 a square foot. Like, for most people, you want to be insured in the sort of 200 to 300 a square foot. Now that's just what we say from reality. We,
right.
in insurance world, most people aren't insured to that amount.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, okay, so try to get the coverage A right and buy the biggest extended replacement feature you can afford.
On
top of that, and make sure you buy building code upgrade coverage. Those are the three things most important.
What's building code upgrade?
Building code upgrades are...
Go ahead.
It's a code upgrade provision that you can buy, and it's extra. Normally, it's 10% or sometimes maybe more
of your
dwelling coverage. So
okay.
If you have like $488,000, like this gentleman does,
right.
If you have a 10% code upgrade policy, it'll be $48,000 in this case. Such that when they originally built your house to when an incident occurs, and the in today's construction, it requires an upgrade to the codes that were previously in place, there's going to be a premium charge for that.
Okay.
The city is going to require you to do certain things that you didn't
like
have
Title
to do
24,
before.
Right? Is that what it's called?
Correct.
Title 24,
that's like
yeah.
one of them.
Yeah.
So you would have to upgrade, and it will. That's a different provision of your policy that you have on top of the, in this case, $488,000 that this gentleman has, that you would be able to apply strictly for code upgrade provisions.
Okay.
So I hope Rob got the answer to his question. One of the things I started the show with is we have an incredible wealth of knowledge sitting in this, on this, in
yes,
this show.
Yes, we do. I know.
I mean, between Amy, Terry, and Alex, it's incredible. So I have a question.
And you, Danny, you've got knowledge.
Well, no, I mean, I have in insurance. I don't, these guys are like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
As Yoda said, modesty is.
Yeah, modesty is everything, right?
I'm like the little Jedi who's in training.
You're the ringleader. You're
only
the master.
After 20, I've been practicing for 22 years. But so I have a question for you guys, and I think it would be, because we have Amy on, it would be very good. In my experience, the one thing that a lot of people, the pitfall is insurance agent adjusters, and when normal people, homeowners insurance, call them. They're at a disadvantage, that people, the insurers are at a disadvantage because they don't know what they don't know. So when
right.
they start talking, a lot of times adjusters move them in a direction where they will say something that they are going to get denied because of something that
oh,
is.
Oh, right. Because they don't know what they can say and what they can't
exactly.
say.
Exactly. And it's not about lying.
No.
It's about the way the insurance adjusters question them and try to push them in a way that they deny it. So I see that as one of the biggest pitfalls. I want to ask Terry, Alex, and Amy, each one of them, what they think is the biggest pitfall for insurers when they're dealing with their own claims.
I think it's just what Alex alluded to when we talked about a moment ago, is it's you're not on a level playing field. And as you just mentioned, most insureds don't really understand all the coverages that they have. And that brings up another point. The insurer actually has an affirmative obligation to inform you of all available coverages. And frequently adjusters do not do that.
Really?
And even if they do, they do put it in writing. They're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But then as the policyholder gets it and reads it, I can almost assure you that what they're reading is basically in their policy. So again, if you don't know how to read your policy
right.
and understand it and what coverages and rights you have, again, you're at a disadvantage. But going back to what Danny was saying, there are a lot of policyholders that don't know what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And they say stuff that is completely wrong. Like, they're not the expert in this situation.
Right, because they don't understand. So it's like tricky, right?
They say
something that leads them to a different, you know, direction, and you're going, oh my gosh, wait, I don't know that I meant to say that, or because we don't know.
Or they don't say the important stuff, and they leave the little things out that should be stated, that
mm-hmm.
makes all the difference to,
right.
to getting coverage. So I think those are the pitfalls.
Amy, we have 2 minutes before this segment is over. How about you?
Sure. Yeah, it's again, it's this idea that we've touched on, which is it's related to the not being on a level playing field, but it's also that people have this mentality based about what the process is like based on all the ads they've seen, right? So they think, oh, you know, I'm in good hands, and that they think they can be passive and that the insurance company is going to do the right thing. And we know from our work that that's not true, that it's a business negotiation and you're not on a level playing field. So the very important thing for people to realize is you can give the insurance company a chance to do the right thing, and you should, but don't be a pushover, because it isn't like the commercials say. It's up to you to enforce your rights, get help when you need it, and then, you know, to a certain extent, prove your own loss so that you know you get a fair settlement.
Okay, I want to say thank you to Amy for coming on as our guest. I really appreciate everything that you do, and thank you for giving us your time today on a Saturday, on a weekend. And I hope to be able to do this again and invite you again on another show so we can all benefit from your wisdom. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys are out there fighting the good fight.
and same to you as well. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our guest attorneys, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen. We're talking about fire insurance claims. So if you have any questions about this, and we may be talking about, I think, property damage in this segment as well. So if you have any questions, go ahead and give us a call at 800-222-5222. This is the Axe Law Hour with your host, Danny Abir, and me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's the hottest gift this holiday season. And whether Santa slam dunks it down your chimney,
Christmas is ruined,
or you gift it to yourself, make sure to say,
Alexa, enable the KABC AM skill.
Okay.
KABC, modern technology at its best.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California.
I am the smartest man alive!
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Computer, execute 12.4P operation.
Optimizing algorithm. Running encryption packet alpha. Night, night. Oh, I don't feel so good.
What? What is it, computer?
Is it hot in here? It feels hot in here. I feel a little clammy. I should lie down or something.
A computer with a virus? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
Those oysters Rockefeller were a mistake.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Do you need Duracell batteries this coming holiday season? Maybe not. Maybe you could trust your kids will be just as happy without them. Maybe you could trust they won't remember you as the parent who spent this Christmas morning driving to a mini mall to get the batteries you forgot while wearing a robe. Or you could just trust Duracell and buy them right now.
Are you a property owner dealing with damage to your home or business and getting the runaround from your insurance company? Is the insurance company's assessment of the damage and payment on the claim ridiculous? Wondering if you have any recourse? The attorneys at Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo are ready to help. If you have questions about property claims, civil rights, personal injury, or need legal counsel, call the Acts Law Firm. 833-ACTS-LAW. 833-ACTS-LAW. Or go to ActsLaw.com. That's ACTS-Law.com.
Are you compulsively eating because of stress? Have you failed at dieting, making you feel worse about yourself? The Key Light Counseling Center in Beverly Hills, California is sponsoring a 3-hour food boot camp, Mastering Your Food Triggers, How to Think Your Way Thin, with clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gluss. For more information about the next upcoming food boot camp, contact the Key Light Counseling Center at 323-935-9712. The first 5 people to call and mention this ad will receive a 20% discount on the next boot camp. Call now at 323-935-9712. 9712.
Talk Radio 790
KABC. We are back with the Axe Law Hour. That's ACTS Law. Find him at axelaw.com. Before the break, we were talking with our guest attorneys today, Terry Bailey and Alex Cohen, about fire damage claims. We also want to talk to you about any sort of legal questions you have, construction damage, whatever it is. Give us a call. The number here is 800-222-5222. And here he is, your host, Danny Abir, along with me, Lorraine Love, on Talk Radio, KABC 790.
Well, the topic of dealing with insurance carriers and damage to properties is one that we could literally talk on every single session that would come here. And it would not be ending. I mean, right. One of the conversations Alex and I were having right after, during the commercials was that, during the break, was that what Amy said is true. Insurance, the insurers are passive when it comes to their insurance companies. And that basically creates a dynamic that people are at a disadvantage automatically. But because of the fact that there's so much information and so much to talk about when it comes to dealing with insurance companies, I want to leave that for another session that we're going to be talking about. But right now, because we have Terry here, I want to talk about construction defect, because I had made you a promise.
Yes, you did.
Last week that you had a construction defect question. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to bring the expert in construction defect so you can ask directly from Terry what your question is.
And Terry used to be a contractor, correct?
Yes, a number of years ago, but yes, that's true.
Okay, perfect. So you know. All right.
Well, you were 18, right? That was like 5 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, that's such an advantage to be a contractor and have that knowledge and experience and be an attorney. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I bought a house about 4.5 years ago, brand new construction, and everybody in our development is having I can't say everybody, a lot of people in our development are having issues with their fireplace. So I sold the house, and the only thing on the inspection walkthrough was the fireplace. So in order for me to close escrow, I had to try to get it fixed. So I went to get it fixed, and I'm having an issue getting it fixed. So we had to hold back $2,000 in an escrow account so that we can make sure it gets fixed. I am already over $1,000 into it trying to get this fixed. And as I'm talking to my neighbors, oh, my fireplace never worked right. My fireplace never worked right. So my question is, what do I do?
Well, there's a lot in that question because some folks may think, well, I sold my home, so I don't have any standing to go back to the contractors and developer of the home. But that's not true. Since they're holding back your money, you still have those rights.
Right.
To get to the actual procedure, there is a pre-litigation procedure, unfortunately, that you have to go through before you can file a lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
So you put the builder on notice of your claim.
Okay.
They have, there's a lot of statutory time limits in there that we don't have time to get into, but they have a certain amount of time to respond, provide you with information, and then they can make an offer to repair. So while I'm not a huge fan of the pre-litigation procedure and the offers to repair, because in my experience, it's the procedure has simply been used to slow the process down. But I would send the builder it's called a notice of intent to commence legal proceedings.
Okay.
And then they have to come out and inspect. Alternatively, because you're talking about something that may only be a couple $1,000s, you can make a warranty claim with the builder as well. But in all likelihood, that would go nowhere. So I would start with the notice of intent to commence legal proceedings.
I called them, and like when all this was going down, I called them and I said, you know, everybody's having a problem with this fireplace. Is there any, like, what's going on with this? And they're like, yep, nope, you're done. You had a year to tell us about that.
Yeah, and that's generally the problem with the warranty claims. And, you know, the other issue here that's sort of in the background is it may not be a huge issue. I mean, as far as it's not going to cost $100,000 to fix or anything like that. So it's difficult to perhaps find an attorney who's going to represent you on a claim that's only for a couple $1,000s. But on the other hand, if the defect is project-wide, then you may have a class action there, too. Something like that can be considered.
Okay,
we have Dave in L.A. that has a question from both Alex and Terry regarding making an insurance claim to the insurance company.
Okay.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. Here's my question. Suppose the insurance company says, okay, we'll pay you off, and they pay you. Two-part question. One, do they just write you a check, or is it a graduated thing, and are there procedures to be followed when rebuilding? And the second part of the question is, can you just take that money and walk away?
Oh, that's a good question.
Both of them are great questions. In a first-party insurance claim, meaning a claim that you file against your own insurance carrier, they have to write you a check for the undisputed damages when they know they owe it. So, yes, they have to write you a check. There is no release accompanied with that, as like when you're filing a third party action, mm-hmm. which is against a negligent party.
Right.
Here we don't have that. So in insurance claims, the insurance carrier has to write you a check for that undisputed damage without a release. And then that check, if you have a mortgage holder on it, is going to be also list your bank on it.
Oh,
and if
okay.
the bank signs off on it, okay, and you have the cash, you can do with it what you want. It's your property. You may choose not to do the repairs right now. You mm-hmm. may hold off on repairs, and do it subsequently. But that claim is open for a certain period of time. Okay.
Okay.
There is a statute of limitations. You have to know how to calculate that, which is another reason why an attorney has to get involved in these type of situations to consult. But if you do construction and your cost of repairs is in excess of what you've been paid, you want to alert the insurance company that this is costing me more, and you make a supplemental claim to the insurance carrier, so that you can get paid additional money on the damages that you were out of pocket.
So I have a quick question with that in mind. So if there's a mortgage on the house, if you owe, let's say, you know, $400,000, does that get paid off, or does the mortgage continue to go just like normal?
Mortgage continues to go as normal.
Okay.
Which has nothing to do with the damages.
Okay.
But the banks, because they have the lien on their property, the mortgage lien, mm-hmm. they want to make sure that the property is repaired.
Okay.
Dave, does that answer your question?
Can I ask a follow-up question on that?
Sure,
of course.
Suppose that you've cleared with the mortgage and everything like that. Your house is burned down, and you decide, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go take the money and just go away. Can you just do that?
You can do that, but you still have your mortgage. You still have your mortgage that you're responsible for and you're on the hook for. But if you say,
he's saying if the mortgage is paid off.
Are you saying if the mortgage is paid off?
Yes.
Oh, if the mortgage is paid off and you're getting paid for the structure and you don't want to rebuild anymore, that's your prerogative.
So you just
okay,
have a piece of land.
Great.
Florida,
right,
here we come.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will have a piece of, you will have land, unimproved
right.
land. Okay, and you can sell your land if you wanted to, and you know you got paid for the structure. That's fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Does that Thank answer you. Your question, Dave?
It sure does.
Perfect. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank
okay,
you, Dave.
Bye.
Hope you have a great weekend. So let's go back to Terry. I'm trying to, unless you haven't noticed, I'm trying to maximize our use of Terry in this case.
Yes.
On this show, because we don't get to have him here very often.
I know.
So when it comes to construction defect, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know.
Right.
Is what do they do and under what circumstances is considered construction defect, and what kind of statute of limitations they have to deal with, how far back they can go. What are some pitfalls or things that people should know about that will empower them in situations where like that? And we have 2 minutes before the show is over, so you have 1 minute to answer. Not to put you under the spot.
No pressure, Terry.
Well, much like Amy was talking about a moment ago with insureds, don't be passive. If you are a homeowner in Los Angeles, you have undoubtedly spent a great deal of money for your home, probably the single biggest investment of your life.
Yes.
Be proactive. So for new construction at the very outside, there is a statute of repose of 10 years for what are called latent defects. That means you have up to 10 years to bring an action for latent defects as opposed to patent defects. Patent defects, you generally have 3 to 4 years depending on the circumstances. And if you discover a latent defect is obviously something that's hidden. It could be faulty grading that 4 or 5 years after you purchase the home, your home starts to shift or sink or move. It could be a leaking roof, leaking decks, leaking windows, which in Southern California, it rains about once every 8 years. So you don't really know that you have those problems until we get some significant rain. But the point and something that's critical to pay attention to with respect to the 10-year statute is you only have 3 years from the date you discover the latent defect. So if you discover the latent defect in year 5, you cannot wait until year 9 to pursue an action. You only have 3 years from the date of discovery. We refer to that as the rule of discovery.
Or alternatively, come Monday morning, everybody pick up the phone and call Terry for questions.
Yes.
Because that we have two things. One is hashtag go see Alex, and now we have call Terry for questions regarding construction defect. I want to thank Amy Bach as our guest attorney who came on board from United Policyholders to help us with some of the topic. I want to thank Terry and Alex for taking time on their Saturday to come in and talk to us about insurance and construction defect. And I want to thank Lorraine, as usual, for being my co-host of the show. This is Danny Abir, and talk to you guys next week.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us today at the Axe Law Hour. Knowledge is power, and power is knowledge. And I hope we've empowered you today. Tune in every Saturday at noon to hear more from our friends at Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo, the Axe Law Hour. For more information from our stellar team of lawyers, you can find them at axelaw.com. That's A-C-T-S Law. Thank you to Danny Abir, our host, and thank you for you for listening to us. We hope you have a wonderful rest of the weekend. I'm Lorraine Love, and you're listening to Talk Radio KABC 790. Turn your magical.
This show furnished by Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo.